Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
This is Stuart Venner. I tell it as I see it, and I see it as it is.
It was interesting, but it was also stupid.
This is Stuart Venner. I want to welcome you to this week's show. We're going to be speaking to Dr. Basham. He's an amazing plastic surgeon that is going to show us how to make men and women look a lot better. We're also speaking to Carol and Paul Benson. They've written a book called Surviving to Thriving. We're talking to Melanie Denny. She's a resume writer, and if you're looking for a job, having a good resume is very important. We're speaking to Marvelette Jackson. She's a trichologist. She's a hair and scalp expert, something I need considering I don't have any hair. We're also speaking to Susan Casamento. She has a fantasy dating game. Real good. Better way to find a date. And we're finally going to be speaking to Connie Ellis. She's an author, and she and her whole family are blind. Thank you. Please stay tuned. Folks, we have Dr. Ralph Basham on the line. He is a doctor, a plastic surgeon. In fact, he's the best-known plastic surgeon in Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and he's probably one of the best plastic surgeons in this country. Dr. Basham, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Paul, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that your story, by changing the outside, you boost people's self-esteem. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you know, I think that what we've seen with the advent of a more accepted attitude toward cosmetic surgery is that people have been choosing this, and as a result, can feel better about themselves. Recently, there was a study in clinical psychology by Dr. Magreff, who really demonstrated that patients who had cosmetic surgery felt better about themselves and really had a more fulfilling life as a result of that in their impression.
Well, I'm sure of that. I mean, I had a housekeeper one time. This is a true story. I actually put a paper bag over her head. I told her she looked better, but she certainly could have used the plastic surgery. She was very insulted.
Well, you know, people do have sensitivities about themselves, and just like people choose to have orthodontia, people choose to have their nails done, people choose to have hairstyles, you know, cosmetic surgery is no different than those things in trying to make yourself feel and look better.
Well, it can be a little addictive, too. I mean, like some of these Hollywood stars, is too much of it can be is a good thing or not?
Well, it can be too much or just, poorly done. Or what can happen is that Hollywood stars can have a certain physical appearance that they are trying to strive toward, how they see themselves in the mirror, and they will seek out care until they find that. So whether their lips end up being too big or a distorted facial appearance, it's a real problem. It's a problem or an issue. And those patients, Michael Jackson, someone should have told him, you know, maybe you shouldn't have any more. Maybe something else, you should have other care to help you get through these sort of sensitivities.
Of course. You know, that brings up something I was thinking. I mean, I would logically think that most of your clients would be women, but I bet you're getting a lot of men today.
We are getting men, yet, you know, still with my practice focusing heavily on breast enlargement, fat transfer to the breast and things like that. You know, we still, you know, most of our patients are women. We do see men more and more, particularly with the fat transfer to the face.
Now, fat transfer to the breasts, that sounds good. So you take the big fat butt and you put it in the breasts.
Yeah, to a certain extent, that's exactly what it is. You know, this was originally described 25 years ago and was dismissed by our society, just dismissed out of hand without really extensive study. About 10 years ago, surgeons all over the world, in Tokyo, in Germany, in Italy, started doing this and starting to realize, well, maybe this is a good idea. Maybe it doesn't interfere with mammograms as much. And people in America started to do it, so it really is becoming more of a standard for care and a choice for women having
Are these breast implants, or are these just using their own body tissue?
You're using their own body tissue as a graft. So just like we graft skin, we can take the fat out as a... It looks like a slurry. It's really almost a liquid that you inject back into the breast. It's very fine threads of the breast. It's important to be done correctly, because if it's done in a haphazard way or too heavy-handed, it can lead to calcifications in the breast, which can interfere with mammograms.
Oh, I'm sure
it can also
that.
Leave oil cysts. But if done carefully, it can give a beautiful result for women who want breast enlargement or enhancement without implants, or women who have had implants that have failed or had very, very poor results, that they can have implants taken out and replaced with fat. Also, breast reconstruction can be done with that exclusively. It's very elegant.
I wonder if that's what Angelina Jolie is having done.
I hope so. I really hope, because I think that one of the things with breast reconstruction or mastectomy surgery is that when you do the surgery, the skin is left numb.
Right.
And we've found that when you transfer fat in underneath that skin, much of the sensation will come back. And it's a very elegant change, and women really appreciate that.
That's very interesting.
Because that numbness is really an uncomfortable thing after that surgery.
You know, I remember back a very long time ago, my father worked for a man who had a trademark. He had a nose like Jimmy Durante. But that was his trademark. I mean, he wouldn't change it for anything in the world. But he was a wealthy man, and he brought his daughter to Beverly Hills to have her nose done. I'm probably going back over 40 years ago. And he took her to, when he went to on one of the visits, he took her into the doctor after the surgery, and she was in with the doctor, and there were two young girls, probably 16, 17 years old, sitting in the waiting room, and they had the bandages on their noses, I guess, waiting to have them removed. And he turned to them, and this is a true story. He said, "Girls," he says, "don't be nervous." He said, "I felt the same way before they removed my bandages." This man's nose was all over his face.
You know, and that brings up a very good point. A very interesting point is that, you know, people like Jimmy Durante, I mean, that's a little dated for your audience maybe, but, you know, people that have a characteristic facial appearance that may not be acceptable to other people is just fine. And if something doesn't bother you, there's no reason to run out and have something changed.
But I'm sure it can certainly, though, help your self-esteem if you are bothered with it. I mean, if...
Exactly.
Why not make yourself look better? I think it's really a good thing to do and a very accepted thing today.
Yeah. And it's very important to look better in your own eyes, not for somebody else.
That's probably very
true.
And that's
what most of our patients, that's the healthiest thing, is when a woman comes in for breast enlargement, for example, when she comes in and she's doing this for herself rather than to save her marriage or for a boyfriend or for a girlfriend, you know, that's the best situation where you're sensitive about yourself, you want to change something, and you want to move on.
I bet their whole personality changes.
It really can.
It's better than a psychiatrist.
For some things, yes. For some things, yes. And then other things, a psychiatrist is a key part of getting them through even the surgery.
Well, you know, I think what you're saying, is aside from being as important, it's very important for people to go to someone who's capable. I mean, the last thing you want to do is be butchered. And someone like yourself, who's experienced, who's award-winning like you are, I mean, you don't want to look for a bargain basement boob job, because you'll look ridiculous. You could.
That's a good point. If you look at cosmetic surgery, sadly, people want to commoditize it. They want to say, they think that everybody's the same. And the reality isn't. You know, just like when you go have your hair done or you get a tattoo, some places do a better job than others. And cosmetic surgery, plastic surgery is no different. So looking for someone who's a member of the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, American Society of Plastic Surgeons, I think it's a key part of this, and getting referrals from friends and also from your physician. Women who can go to their gynecologist, if they ask about things,
Sure. Leaving
the gynecologist see everything, and they will say who they think looks the patients that look the best, what surgeon did them. I hear this all the time.
That's a very, very good idea. How can people get to you and learn more about you? I think, you know, no matter where you are, it's probably worth going to Minneapolis to see someone as qualified as you are.
We also have a great information on our website. It's nipandtuck.com with an N, not an and. And nipandtuckblog.com. We have a weekly blog, twice weekly blog that we present different topics of plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery, and some other travel information that we
nipandtuck.com. That's a cute name. I like that.
Nipandtuck.com. Yeah, it's a great site.
Have you done any work for any famous people?
Oh yeah, we've done people of name, but you know, you can't talk about it. It's not polite. So you know. Yeah, we've done people, the name people and the recognizable people, but you just not polite to say too much.
I think you're right about that, although I'd love you to tell me, but I guess you can't do that.
No, it's just not polite, you know, and we also have this HIPAA thing that makes it not polite. So,
well, this has been great talking to you, and Dr. Bashum, I think you're really, really good at what you're doing, and I think you're helping people's minds, their self-esteem, as well as making them look a lot better. And everybody, if you're listening, when you're listening to this and you need to make yourself look better, this is the man to talk to. When you go to nipandtuck.com, NIPNTUCK, right?
That's it. You got it. Thank you so much.
Doctor, thank you so much.
Let's talk again sometime.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Folks, welcome back to the show. I've got two very interesting guests on the line. They're a husband and wife team, Carol and Paul Benson. And they're going to talk about From Surviving to Thriving. This is a roadmap to turning a crisis into opportunity. Welcome to the show, Paul, Carol.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, I know you've met over 10 years ago, and you have a true love story. Can you tell us a little bit about everything that's happened with you?
Oh, well...
Or a little bit of it.
Thank you. A good place to begin is when we met each other, life was amazing. We found in each other the partnership that we both had always desired in our lives, and we were saving. We had 401ks. Retirement at that point was a possibility. We were traveling. I sold a home to move into Paul's home. So life was good. There was no drama. Everything was wonderful. And then with the economic, let's just call it fiasco, that has occurred in this country and in the world, beginning in 2008, we were impacted.
Well, you learned that the dollar is very round, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. We were not the only ones.
No, you weren't the only one. But you've survived, and you've learned how to turn lemons into lemonade, I guess.
We did. That's a good way to put it. It really is. And we, you know, we found that the rug of security that we expected to have in our lives was no longer supporting us at all. We lost businesses. We eventually lost our home after 3 years trying to hang on to it. And we were pretty much, let's just say, wiped out financially.
Well, again, you're not alone, but you did the right thing. I mean, you took the proactive steps that are needed to survive and to come back, which is what I think so many people don't. They're all waiting for Obama's hand of God to come down and save them, and that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, well, that's also why we wrote this book, because in the middle of all these crises going on, we were happy, and we didn't have one fight over money.
That's good. That's really good.
Years. And so that's why we wrote the book. So there's a number of steps in the book that we have, which helps people become more resilient.
Well, tell us about your book. I was going to ask you about that in a second, but now that you brought it up, the title is what, Five Steps? Tell me the title.
Yeah, Five Steps to Thrive, Reveal Any Crisis as Opportunity.
That's really good. So you look at crisis as an opportunity, which I think is really very true for everybody.
Yeah, because a lot of times people go into sort of the story of why is this happening to me, and we talk about that one of the things that's so important is to look at it in a very different way. We actually looked at a lot as initiations into something bigger, something different. So, and then we would coach each other. So we would actually, if I would come home and feel like I've been beat up by the world, Carol would coach me and vice versa. So we really worked as a team to face these crises and turn them around.
That's marvelous. And, you know, when one door closes, many others open, but so many people don't recognize this. Are there a couple tips that you could give us, everybody right now, that they would want to, you know, really digest and help use them?
Well, one is that we believe, and actually the medical science is backing this up, that the human being speaks three languages.
Really?
That's body. And the first is your mind, obviously, how you think. So the first thing is we talk about having open-ended questions, like what else is possible? And so when you're in a tough situation, if you can reframe it and open up to other possibilities that you don't see, so we say your mind is a compass, and it can point you in a direction downward or sort of in a more positive framework, and when you can redirect your mind, you start to open up the possibilities of other things happening. That's the first language. And Carol, what's the second language?
Well, the second one is of the heart. And in our bodies, we have three brains. We have the mind, the heart, and also there's a brain in the belly. And so we work...
Well, don't men have a brain down below, too?
Yes, we do. It's called the
I think that's where I do most of my thinking.
Well, you know how you register, oh, I feel it in the pit of my stomach? Well, it's
I was thinking a little bit below that.
Well, that's a different brain we're talking about. So we're talking about a different brain here.
I
think this is a PG show, isn't it, Stuart? Maybe not.
Hey, life.
So anyway, back to
what we were saying is that the heart registers a lot of, for many of us, the pain of the past. And if we've had experiences where we felt betrayed or unsupported in life, oftentimes when we are facing a crisis, we go into those old feelings, and of course that also connects with our brain in terms of our old beliefs. And then the next part, which is the belly, we can tune into the belly in a new way, and that is to really feel what is going on in your body. There's a language called the somatic language of the body, and that means that what you're physically receiving in your body, and it can be a truth or a false indicator. And it's worked for us in many ways. I mean, constantly, because our minds would go into fear. Oh no, we're going to be homeless. What are we doing? Our heart would feel like the fear and the panic and the despair and not feeling supported. And then we would ask a question, is this really happening right now? Are we homeless right now? And our whole bodies would relax.
That makes tremendous sense, because you can just worry yourself to death over something that will probably never happen or may not ever happen. So tell us, how can people get your book? Because it's very, very interesting to me.
Well, it'll be on Amazon or iBooks or any of the major sites at the end of this week. So when this interviews, I think...
It should be available then. Yes, it should.
Saturday, right?
Yes. So it's 5 Steps. Tell us the title once again.
5 Steps to Thrive. That's number 5. 5 Steps to Thrive. Reveal any crisis as opportunity.
Well, I think that title says it all. Carol, Paul, I thank you very, very much for coming on the show. And everybody, the number five steps to thrive, to turning crisis into opportunity, right?
Number 5 steps to thrive. Reveal any crisis as opportunity.
5 Steps to Thrive, reveal any crisis as opportunity. A great title. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
And they also can go to our website.
Oh, yes, tell us that.
www.carolandpaulbenson.com, because we have a lot of things we want to give to people. And what's the other thing we want to give to the listeners, Carol?
We have a free report called New Rules to Play Life By that we would love to share with your listeners.
So we can go to your website, everybody. Go to that.
Absolutely.
Carol and Paul Benson, Benson, right?
Yes.
.com. And you can get that free report. And I think you'd want to buy that book because it sounds really, really good. I think it's something
Thank
everybody
so
can
much.
Use.
Yeah, we're here to support people, whatever we can do.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I have Melanie Denny online, and Melanie is an interesting lady and has a lot to teach us. We can learn a lot from her. She is a resume specialist, and if you're looking for a job, it's pretty competitive out there, and if you don't have the right resume, you're not going to have too good a chance of getting that job. Welcome to the show, Melanie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about what you do and the importance of resumes.
Well, in a nutshell, I create opportunities for job seekers. So I help them hone in on their personal brand and market themselves both on paper as well as in person through interviewing.
So, I mean, you know, doing a resume, I mean, anybody can sit down there and write something, but it's pretty competitive. I mean, there's an awful lot of people looking for the same jobs. I'm talking about good jobs. And I would think that if you don't have a good resume that's going to catch somebody's eye, you're shot down before you even have a chance to meet the person. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely right. That is it. You're right on target with that.
And what are the key things that you need to put into a resume?
I think the key is really putting in your accomplishments. Not just, you know, listing your duties, you know, what you were responsible for, your daily tasks, but really the value you brought to the employer, how you helped the company grow, how you helped them progress, how did you, you know, help save money, generate money, improve processes. Those are the things that really get employers' attention, and that's what you need to focus on.
And that makes a lot of sense. You know, I've seen a lot of resumes cross my desk, and this one is at this duty and that duty and this duty, but not very many of them tell me this is what I accomplished and this is how much money I made for my company. That would have caught my eye.
Exactly.
And you have an MBA, so you're pretty got a pretty good education yourself and really know how to do this.
Yeah.
Do you deal with any particular industry, or do you help people in all types of fields?
Really all types of fields. I generally don't deal with too much federal resumes, because that's a completely different monster within itself.
I imagine.
But, you know, and yeah, in general, I deal with, you know, business fields, medical fields, you know, marketing, or IT, all of that.
I see. And a typical resume, should it be long, or how many pages is there such a thing?
Well, it really depends. You don't want it to be too long, and you don't want it to be too short. It really all depends on what you're selling. What do you have to offer? Is it, do you have more than 10 years experience? If so, then you're probably going to end up in more than one page.
Right.
If you're a recent college graduate with not so much relevant experience, you're probably going to end up with a one-pager. So it really depends on, you know, how much information is there, how in-depth your career goes, longevity, and things like that. A senior executive is definitely going to want to, you know, be a two-pager, and sometimes even three pages. It just all depends.
Well, I mean, I think that's the key. The first impression is really the one that's lasting. And you work for people everywhere. I mean, with the computers today, it doesn't matter where somebody is. I know you're based down in Fort Lauderdale, but you probably have clients all over the country or even in the world, I imagine.
I do, actually. It's pretty amazing sometimes when I get clients that are, like, in California, across the country. I've even had some from the Caribbean contact me.
Really?
It's amazing.
Well,
mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, you know, everybody likes to save money here and there. And, you know, certain shortcuts somebody can take. But when it comes to making that first impression, you don't want to go in a suit from Goodwill, and you don't want to go in with a resume that's a piece of garbage.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to get past first base. You want to make it to get that home run. That's the whole idea of this. Melanie, tell the folks out there how they can get hold of you and learn more about what you're doing, because I think it's really important what you're doing.
They can find me online. I am on LinkedIn, Melanie Denny. I am, the website is www.resume-evolution.com.
Okay.
I'm also on Facebook.
Okay, that's resume, R-E-S-U-M-E, in case you don't know how to spell, dash evolution, evolution.com. And Melanie, is there a phone number people can contact you at?
Sure. They can call me at 888-765-8515.
Okay. Now, I'm really glad to have had you on the show, Melanie, because I think everybody can learn a lot and benefit a lot from what you're doing. And thank you so much.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a real interesting guest online. We're going to be speaking to Marvelette Jackson. Marvelette is a trichologist. Now, for those of you who don't know, this has to do with a healthy hair and scalp. It's nothing to do with turning a trick, right, Marvelette?
Right.
Tell us about trichology and what you do.
Okay, trichology is basically the anatomy and physiology of the hair and scalp as it relates to sickness and disease.
So you help people grow hair or make their hair healthy?
Grow healthy hair. And, you know, everything starts on the inside. So basically, if something's going on the outside of your body, like your hair is coming out from your scalp, 9 times out of 10, it's something wrong on the inside. You don't have a healthy inside environment. Usually, if the hair is breaking off, that's from mechanical damage, something caused by environments or chemicals or products that you're using.
Right.
However, in some cases, you may have breakage that is caused by something wrong going on internally as well.
Let me ask you a question. Personally, I'm interested in this. Can you make a bald person grow hair?
Yes, depending on the reason they are bald.
I've been bald for over 50 years.
Do you grow any hair at all? Any fuzz? Or you just?
Well, I got a little bit around the edge and in the back, but the top of the head, you know, grass doesn't grow on a busy street.
Okay, well, that sounds like that's androgenetic alopecia. So it's caused by genetics and DHT, which is dihydrotestosterone. So in some cases, if it's caught early enough, remove the DHT from the inside, prevent your body from making it, and then remove it from the scalp. And also with laser treatment, it is a possibility that you
really
can grow back. But there are other options as well. Yeah.
So it's not hereditary, because my father didn't have any hair either. Either did my grandfather.
That's what androgenetic means. Yes, hereditary. But a lot of things that are hereditary is usually 3% hereditary, and the rest of it is in your mind. A lot of times we assume because our parents has the alopecia, or because they have diabetes or they have hypertension, we're prone to it. That is true in so many cases. However, if you know that these things are going on in your family, there are ways you can prevent it from happening to you.
Well, that's really interesting. So do you do this on, you have a salon where you do this?
I do. I am now located at 2406 West 111th Street in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
However, September, I will be moving to South Loop.
Well, that's really very interesting, because maybe I can use some trichology. But, you know, people, if you want to have a healthy scalp, from what I'm reading and understanding, you want to go to somebody like you. You don't expect the hairdresser to be able to really do the things that you can do, because they just don't have that training. Isn't that right?
Well, okay, in some instances, okay, I'm going to say this, just because you certified don't make you qualified. You do have some regular hairstylists who do have additional training and have taken classes, but just not go through the certification process, who can possibly treat you. But those are far and few in between. The better choice will be a actual certified trichologist. However, there are some hairstylists who are trained to do it as well. They just did not go through the whole certification process. And they may be able to do some things and not all things. And so that's why I started my school, ITSE, Institute of Trichoscience Education, and I will be doing continuing education hours for the licensed stylists and also licensed dermatologists, the people in the medical field, because trichology
sure.
is actually a paramedical.
That sounds very sensible. Now do you give people medicine to take or pills to take, or do you rub things into the head? What's the best thing, or is it a combination
of
everything?
All of the above.
All of the above.
We do a hair and scalp scan and different hair analysis where we look at the scalp and hair under a trioscope to determine exactly what's going on. Now, in some cases, because I am in the paramedical field, I'm not a medical doctor.
Right.
I do have to refer the clients out to a medical doctor. Sometimes prescriptions are involved. Like if they have fungal dandruff, there's a medicated shampoo that you have to use that I cannot write a prescription for, but I can refer you out to someone who can.
Marvel at, if I'm all down in Florida, if I fly to Chicago, am I going to leave with full hell a head of hair?
Not unless you do a hair transplant surgery.
You're not going to make me grow hair?
I can get you pointed in the right direction. But
I'm scared to bend over in a bowling alley, frankly.
Really?
Well, I might end up down the lane.
No, well, for what sounds like you have going on, you probably wouldn't even have to get in the bowl. But I do have a trichologist friend that is in Florida, and I can give him his information later.
Well, thank you. Now, Marvelette, before we go, I want you to tell everybody once again where you are and how to reach you and how to make an appointment with you.
Okay. I am located at 2406 West 111th Street, and that's located in Chicago, Illinois. My contact number is 773-316-1812, and my website, if you want to learn more about me, is www.trichology101.com.
Well, thank you very much. You were a lot of fun as a guest, and I'll let you go back to your clients' hairs. And thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I've got a really fun guest online. We're going to be speaking to Suzanne Casamento. Suzanne is the queen of fantasy dating, and I think that sounds like a really fun thing. Suzanne, tell us about fantasy dating, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I haven't been called a queen before, so I'm very excited.
Well, is this like these eHarmony, or this is not like that, is it, at all?
No, it's not, actually. FantasyDatingGame.com is a forum in which people can date. It's like a play on fantasy football or any other fantasy sport, in that people get together and they create leagues, they set stakes, and then they compete against each other to earn points but they earn the points by dating.
Are they actually really dating, or is this fantasy dating?
No, they are actually dating. They earn the points by doing things like exchanging numbers. So when you exchange numbers with someone, you earn 1 point. And then when they text, you get 2. When they call, you get 3. When you go on a date, you get 6 points. And then when you get that great call afterwards, that says, "Oh, I had a great time."
So they have to. I'm just reading a little bit about it. So they have to follow certain dares that they get. So if they're a shy person, they have to lose that and go out and flirt or pick up someone at a bar or something like that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the whole goal.
How cool is that?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, it seems to be working, which is great. So, but the whole idea is to motivate people to dare to do something different because they're competing. So the competition actually makes people do crazy things. It's awesome.
Well, I love that. That is really cool. I think that must have happened to me the other day. I was visiting someone down in the Villages in Florida, which is where all the geriatrics live. And I was sitting there listening to the music, and some old lady tried to fill me up. Maybe she was one of your players.
You never know. She may be playing.
So how many people are part of this group?
Well, we've had close to 1,000 sign up so far.
Wow.
And, yeah, what's kind of really interesting about it is that they're coming from everywhere. It's not just happening in the United States. We've had people come from Europe and Asia and Australia, and we had a league from Sweden, Blonde and Strong. They totally kicked
sure.
it up. they did great. So it's kind of cool that it's transcending all cultures.
That is really cool. Have you had any success stories to the point, any permanent hookups or something? Any marriages?
As a matter of fact, we have. Yes, we have. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, one of the girls who played in our, years ago we had sort of like a trial season, if you will, and it all started because my girlfriends were complaining over and over, "We're never going to meet anyone, and there are no good guys in L.A., and that was exhausting to me, so I said, "It's not that hard, just go up and say hi."
Well, there aren't any in West Hollywood.
No. Well, not for us girls.
No.
But, so I said, "Well, what if I dared you?" And that's when I had the idea to do this. So we competed for 10 weeks, and during those 10 weeks, my girlfriends and I went on more dates than we had gone on in the previous 2 years. And one of them, during that initial 10 weeks, met the man she just married like 3 weeks ago.
Isn't that wonderful? That's really good.
Yeah, it's great.
So this is fascinating. So are there any funny stories that you can share with us?
Sure. We've had players meet people in crazy places. There was one girl met a guy at a gas station. She was pumping gas,
uh-huh.
and she, just started talking to the guy at the pump next to her, and they kept chatting, and before they knew it, they were down the road at a restaurant having some drinks, and they ended up dating for months, just because she actually, had the guts to.
And she had the dare. She had to do that.
Yes, she had to do that. She knew that her league mates were ahead of her.
Otherwise, she probably wouldn't have. But she would have lost her points, so she had to do that.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
And any weird things happen that would give us a chuckle?
I don't know about weird. I haven't had any reports of real weird stuff.
Okay, well, that's good, because we don't want anything to happen to anybody. Can you tell everyone how they can find out more about fantasy dating?
Sure. They can go to fantasydatinggame.com, and there are lots of resources on the site, and it's easy to sign up, and it's free. And they can also find us on Facebook at Fantasy Dating Game, and on Twitter at Fantasy Daters, and on Pinterest and Google+, and basically every social media thing out there.
Does it cost a lot to play the game or to sign up?
No, it's actually free.
Oh,
so
I like free.
Everyone can play for free. Yeah.
That's good.
We do too.
So again, we're talking to Suzanne Casamento, and you want to go to fantasydatinggame.com. It's a great name, and it's a great website. I took a look at it. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. And Suzanne, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Are you stuck with a timeshare? Did you attend the presentation and were seduced and enticed into buying that great vacation and investment? Now you're in the terrible position of trying to figure out a way to get out of that mess. You're not alone. For over 15 years, BuyYourTimeshare.com has been helping people like yourself get out of timeshare ownership. The fact is, there is no resale market. Unscrupulous telemarketers call you and say they have buyers waiting, and the next thing that happens is you give them hundreds of dollars for an ad, and you'll never hear from them again. Another fact is that an identical timeshare to yours is being offered on eBay for a dollar, and no one is buying it. If you want out of your timeshare, I urge you to go to buyyourtimeshare.com or call them at 877-94-HELP-ME. That number again is 877-94-HELP-ME. Buyyourtimeshare.com. That's buyyourtimeshare.com. 877-94-HELP-ME. 877-94-HELP-ME.
Welcome back to the show. I have Connie Ellis online. Connie has quite an interesting story to tell. She's also written a book, and we're going to talk about her brother. Her brother, Rory, is a very successful, award-winning guitar player, and he's completely blind. In fact, Connie and all of her siblings are also blind. Connie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, this is my pleasure to have you online. You say that you're blind as well as your brother.
Yep. There actually is four of us in our family. There's my twin sister and I. And then 9 years after we were born, our brother Rory came along. And then 3 years after that, Reed came along. And all four of us in the family are completely blind. And it's kind of strange because no one else in our extended family or anything has any eye problems, so it was quite a shock to my parents when my sister and I were blind.
And you were born that way?
Yep.
Very interesting.
Yeah, they took us around to all different eye doctors and everything, trying to figure out the answer, but of course that was a while ago, and the technology wasn't what it is today, and the doctors could never figure it out. They kept contradicting each other, and so finally my parents just decided to stop taking my sister and I everywhere and having us poked and prodded all the time, and we weren't really finding any answers, and no one was really giving them any hope that the problem could ever be fixed or anything. So they thought they would just make the best of it, and they just took us home and just tried to raise us as normally as they could, and that's just how we've always grown up. We've never known any different, so for us, being blind is just pretty normal.
That's right. I mean, if you don't know something, you don't know what it is. And tell me about your brother that you've written the book. He's a musician, he's a guitar player, but he's won some pretty amazing awards too, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure I won't remember them all, but just a few that come to mind. He was the Inspirational Country Music Association's Musician of the Year twice.
Wow.
And just recently, he was the 2012 nominee to the South Dakota Country Music Hall of Fame. Well, not the nominee, he actually got it. So in the South Dakota Hall of Fame now, and he did a symposium in December with just a bunch of the greatest guitar players in Nashville, like John Jorgensen, and Vince Gill was actually the one heading it up, and he got to be in with that, and he's been in the news a lot. He was in the Tennessean, which is Nashville's main newspaper. There's a big article in there about him in which the writer of the article, Peter Cooper, actually called Rory Nashville's musical deity because he's a multi-instrumentalist. He not only plays guitar, that's what he's most well known for because of the unique way he plays it. He holds it on his lap upside down and kind of plays it backward.
Really? That's amazing. And
yeah,
does he sing as well?
Behind that too.
Does he sing also?
Pardon?
Does he sing as well?
Oh, yes. Yep. Yep, he has several CDs. The reason he was started playing the guitar that way is because when he started, he was like only 3 years old, and his hand was too small to reach around the guitar in the normal fashion. So that's why he just laid it on his lap and just kind of did it the easiest way for him, and that's one thing I really give my parents a lot of credit for. They never tried to unteach him anything, because a lot of parents would have been all worried, no, you can't do it that way, and not let the child figure it out for himself. Once he got
That's
a little
amazing.
Bit older, some of his teachers were a little bit leery of how he was doing it, but he'd already learned so much by that point, he didn't want to unlearn everything, so that's just what he's done.
You too are also a musician. I understand you taught piano.
Yep, I play piano, and mainly that's what I play is keyboard instruments like organ, piano, but my brother, he not only plays piano and guitar, but he plays harmonica, saxophone, clarinet. He plays like more than a dozen instruments and all professionally, so that's what's keeping him so busy in Nashville,
and
that he not only plays so many instruments, but so many musical
styles. Your loss of sight,
well,
I know, won't affect you there. I'm a piano player myself for my whole life.
Oh,
and,
excellent.
I don't have to look at the keys.
Exactly, yeah.
I
don't
have no problem playing without
really
looking
affect
at the keys. That's not an issue.
Right, I think people are actually better if they don't look at the keys.
I think you're right. If I do look at the keys, I get a little concentrating in the wrong direction. I'd rather just sit and play. But when you do play, you do know where they belong and where your hands are supposed to be.
Yep.
And you also have taught daycare, and you've run a tutoring service, and you've homeschooled your children as well as other children. So you have a very full life.
Yeah, definitely. Yep, I have my undergrad degree in elementary ed, and then I got my master's in learning disabilities. And at the time, I wanted to work in the public school system, but it was summer break, so I just decided to open a little tutoring business before school started, and that started going so well, and then I got busy with marriage and family, so I've just always been working from home. I love being self-employed and being my own boss and setting my own hours, and just recently I started doing some transcription work as well, and I have, of course, I wrote my book, so I'm into writing, so I keep busy.
Well, Connie, you're an inspiration, as well as your brother, and you have written a book telling the story of your mm-hmm. brother. Can you tell everyone the name of your book and how they can find it?
Yep, it's called Rory's Story, and it's available at Amazon and all those online places, and you can also get it via Rory's website, which is just roryhoffman.com, where you can also get his CDs. He has four right now, and they're all very different from one another. His most recent one is Swing Expedition, which has is jazz-flavored, but he puts all his musical influences onto the CD, and he played most of the instruments on the album himself. And then we also have a companion CD that goes along with the book, because the book mainly tells about Rory's childhood. And so we have a lot of those early recordings when we had the family band back in the day, and Rory was drumming at age four. He started out being our drummer, and we have him singing at age four and everything. So a lot of those recordings from way back then that I talk about in the book, you can buy the CD to go along with it. And then he also has a country CD with a lot of original tunes and a CD of popular hymns done in various different arrangements.
Well,
so there's something there for everybody.
I have to say, your brother and certainly you, speaking to you, are a true inspiration to all of us. And so no matter what adversity you might have, it's not an adversity to you. You overcome it and you live a perfectly normal, very productive life, and your brother as well. Connie, thank you so much for being on the show.
Folks, I want to talk to you about something that I think is kind of important, and especially being this time of the year, it's something we all need to think about. This is the time of the year people are vacationing, summertime, the kids are out of school, and we're going on down to Florida, to Las Vegas, all over the country, to nice resorts. And many of the resorts that we're going to are timeshares. And as soon as you check into that place, I've had it happen to me. You get an immediate pitch. You get invited to a free weekend. You get invited to free tickets to an amusement park, show tickets if you're in Las Vegas, perhaps, or Branson. You get all kinds of perks, and all they want you to do is to attend a little presentation just for a few minutes, just to hear what they have to offer you. Then you're going to be put through the most grueling, horrible experience that you've ever been through in your life. They're going to try every possible trick, clean, dirty, or what have you, to try to sell you a timeshare. And many of you have already fallen victim to this. Let me say this, if you haven't bought that timeshare, whatever you do, don't buy it. I was recently on Fox News where Dave Ramsey and myself actually talked about the fact that timeshares are probably the worst, and I hate to use the word investment, but the worst scam that's out there. There's nothing really worse than owning a timeshare. So again, if you haven't bought one, don't buy one. But then there are so many people out there that are stuck with these timeshares. In fact, for over 15 years, I've been helping people get out of these horrible deals. The good thing is that most of your timeshares are a fractional ownership in a condominium. In other words, it's like you own a condo. The only difference is you own it with 50 or 100 other people. And sadly enough, there is really virtually no resale market for these timeshares. If you look on eBay, the same timeshare that you paid $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for, or the one they're offering it to you for that kind of outrageous sum, people are trying to get a dollar for them, and nobody will take them. If you want one, call me. I'll give it to you for free. I've probably got them everywhere. The last thing you want to do is buy that timeshare. Then when you're trying to get rid of it, you fall prey to another scam. There are people telemarketing you, many of them from India. And they're calling you and telling you, oh, we found this timeshare that you own. We have a buyer waiting just for this timeshare. Here's exactly what we want. And then they're going to sell you again, and you're going to give them $700, $800, $900. And they'll never hear from them again. Because the fact is, there's no buyers waiting. It's almost an impossible thing to get rid of. So if you have this timeshare, how do you get rid of it? Well, you can walk away. There's no debtor's prison. In this country, you don't go to jail for not paying the bill. The problem is that the resort has to foreclose on it like any other piece of real estate. And these are not nice people. I don't care who the company is. There are not any nice timeshare companies out there. So certainly they can foreclose on it. But what happens then is your credit score is going to drop probably 200 points. And, you know, is it worth losing 200 points on a credit score for something as stupid as a timeshare? But there are ways out, and we do this through our company. We've been doing this, again, as I say, over 15 years. But what we do is we take complete ownership in that timeshare. We charge a fee of less than what 1 year's maintenance fees would typically be, usually considerably less. But we do a complete documented real estate transaction. We record a deed transferring title from you to our corporation. We have a HUD-1 real estate settlement statement. Everything that you would find in any normal real estate transaction, and it is indisputable that you no longer own it. We then force that resort to take that timeshare back, either nicely or not nicely. Nicely, they can take a deed in lieu of a foreclosure, and if they don't want to do that, let them foreclose. We don't care. They're not going to bully us. I mean, and they use the most horrible collection tactics I've ever heard. They just recently told an old lady who no longer owns a timeshare that they're going to go and garnish her Social Security. Do you have any idea how illegal that is? Don't fall victim to these timeshare companies. They're horrible people. They're selling you bad deals. And as beautiful and wonderful as it seems at the moment, it's a nightmare. Do you want to give it away to a friend or relative? I'm telling you, it's the gift that keeps on taking. This is something you want to give to your worst enemy. That's the only person you want to give it to. So whatever you do, if you don't own a timeshare, don't buy one. If you do own a timeshare and you want to get rid of it, call me. I'll help you get out of it. Our direct number for getting rid of timeshares is 877-255-1074. But whatever you do, if you're one of the 16% that enjoys your investment, God bless you. Enjoy it, take your vacation, and have a great time. This is Stuart Venner. Welcome you back next week to our show. We've got a great lineup of guests. Please come back. I know you're going to love the show. Thank you.
I let myself.
Aren't you ashamed?